bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Welcome to the Gamer Show. The last one immediately prior to the Xbox One launch. And for that simple reason, there's not a lot to talk about in terms of news. But we're going to try our best to rattle on through. We're going to start the show this week a little bit differently. We're going to have, at the very top of the show here, a section that we're going to name, for this week only, the Ed Marshall section. And that's mainly because Ed has kindly fed back quite a few things over the last kind of three or four shows. And really rudely, Sam has forgotten to alert us of this. Make us aware of it before the show. So,
you fud.
I am normally the caring soul of the group.
So, first of all, a few weeks ago, a few episodes ago, Sam asked if anybody out there in listening land cared about the whole GTA debacle, about the servers and all that kind of stuff. And so Ed replied to us and said, "Hi guys, Sam asked if anyone listening was pissed with the GTA 5 online problems. I think fanboys get a bit carried away with this online part of the game. It's for free and was only added to the game later on in development. I myself, busy playing the normal story mode at the moment, will go online in next week or so. I think, to use one of Paul's words, people are quick to shoot people down when they have things... When things have slight problems. I've heard some dickheads say they won't play games now in protest. That's just silly." There was a swear in there, but I'm going to miss that one and see if I'm going
to
bleep it.
I was going to say, is it bad grammar or is it just your inability to read again, Paul?
That's my inability to read.
Paul, what's the name of this person?
Ed Marshall. "Stupid to make the game of the size of GTA is mind-blowing. I say give Rockstar some time to put together one of the best games of all time. And it will come good. If you want to get a getaway driver, I will give you my gamer tag. I do spend most of the time in a strip club, but are willing to put my pants and trousers up to rob petrol stations for you. All the best, lads." So basically, he's willing to come out of a strip club to come and be our getaway driver in our mobs. So we will take that one under consideration. Thanks, Sam.
As long as he wipes himself down for a bit.
So that was one piece of feedback he gave us. We've also had another one. So this was a little while ago, where he was basically saying that they tried to blame GTA on a kid shooting his granny with a gun. He also... it thinks that the lack of bleeps... Actually, we've had quite a bit of feedback around the lack of bleeps. And everybody is overwhelmingly positive. So we're going to continue and only bleep the harsh stuff. Now, in fairness, the last episode where we didn't do a lot of bleeping, there wasn't a huge amount of harsh stuff that we would have questioned bleeping. So we'll see how that goes.
Do whatever we want, you stupid twatting. Do you want a biscuit?
I've completely forgotten all the words you said there to note them down.
A lot.
Okay. Also, the other thing I mentioned at the top of the show is we're trying a little experiment.
Where's our hobnobs?
Oh, I forgot to bring them upstairs.
You were bringing hobnobs.
Yeah, no, they're in the kitchen. Sorry. Well, anyway, we're just going to have to live with the fruit things. Yeah. The other thing is we're trying a new thing this time. We're very aware that we're the only show on the network, I think, maybe the exception of the media show, I can't remember, that doesn't do an audio feed. So we don't really want to do... Sorry, it doesn't do a video feed.
It's probably that we arguably do an audio feed.
So in an effort to try and remedy that, we didn't want to do a video feed because nobody really wants to see the three of us sitting eat biscuits for an hour every fortnight. So what we're going to try and do...
And frankly, your rule of pants only is a bit extreme as well.
What we're going to try and do...
I'm fine with pants. It's just when he made us grease ourselves up and hard.
It's not like that, it's pig fat.
We're going to try and kind of, at least once every episode, we're going to produce maybe a 10-15 minute video of us playing one of the games that we're either reviewing, previewing, or our independent games. So to kick that off this week, we've played Sam's independent game, which was Dust Force. And while we were doing that, we also reviewed the software Movavi, which is the game capture software that Ewan very kindly got for us to review a few months back. And we've taken some time to try and get some bugs ironed out in it, but we've reviewed that. So that's part of the video. the video feed that hopefully will come out this not long after this episode appears, but so look forward to that.
Got my Hotline Miami one.
Well, so we'll release that again. Yeah. So we've got another one. We've got another one for Hotline Miami that was recorded a month or a couple of months ago now. Anyway,
probably three or four
months ago. So we'd appreciate some feedback about that. What you think of the videos and things like that. So we'll tweet out links for all those kind of things. So that's basically all the kind of top of the show stuff. We've got no comments again this week.
We've hit our limit.
We definitely appear to have. We said that a few shows ago.
All our listeners have now commented.
If all 26 of them. And six of those are our parents.
Our parents have been commenting?
Well, I know one of them. I'm related to at least two of the commenters.
It's a very good show, but Paul, I wish you'd stop swearing.
Mine really haven't, because it'd just be, why the hell are you wasting your time?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so on to the show. As we said, as I said at the top of the show, there's not a huge amount to talk about, but we've got a couple of news from Naughty Dog, a couple of articles from Naughty Dog come out. Apparently there's a new Uncharted. So apparently Naughty Dog said this in the PlayStation blog, that a couple of the people involved in the original Uncharted 3, so Amy Henning, who was the writer, and Justin Richard, who was the game director, are apparently hard at work at the new installment of the Uncharted series. A trailer's come out. Have you had a chance to have a look at the trailer yet? Well, it's a teaser. It's not a trailer. Yeah. There's no any in-game footage or anything like that.
It's not much. It's basically announcing there's Uncharted 4 is coming.
Yeah.
Which could be. Part of me thought after Uncharted 3, I was kind of done with the series, enjoyed it, but I kind of thought, right, I'm kind of done with it now. Yeah. But so I'm hoping it's next gen. Hopefully, it can freshen it all up again, because they weren't particularly. It's Drake's quite a funny and well written character, so hopefully they can do something new for next gen. But if it's much the same as Uncharted 3 and 2. Mm. And it's like, not they're bad games, they're really good games.
I don't think I've played any of them.
I recommend it. Uncharted 1 was good until the stupid zombie things. And then Uncharted 2 I thought was the best. Mm. Uncharted 3 was good. More of the same, but not quite as polished.
Which one is it? Uncharted 2 or Uncharted 3 that you start the game on a crashed railway? Is that 2? So I've played 2. Really enjoyed 2. I haven't played 3 yet. Sorry, a crashed train. Sorry. At the very beginning of the game, you're on a train, and then you basically, it's hanging off a cliff, and you start the game by dangling from a carriage that's dangling off a cliff.
Okay.
And that basically is your tutorial on how you climb and move and things like that as you're clambering up the side of this carriage. It's quite good. I really enjoyed the game.
The cinematics blended with gameplay is really well done.
But I've not played 3, but 2 was good. The trailer that's come out, it is just a teaser trailer. It's basically a guy, I don't recognise the voice, so I think it must be a new character.
It comes across to me as maybe somebody from Drake's past he's wronged.
Because he's talked about 15 years in the past and stuff.
I don't know if the character from past games, he didn't sound familiar, but I don't know, but it might be a character they've just invited. Guys who's passed, who Drake's good, now he's come back for revenge.
Well, he didn't expressly, I mean, I suppose it makes sense, as Uncharted it would be an entirely new franchise if it wasn't Drake, but he didn't expressly talk about Drake. So being that we've already had 3 games and you're saying that you may be a little bit tired, there's no guarantee that Drake's actually going to be the protagonist in it at all. This could be the guy that you're playing. Who knows? Nobody knows anything about the game yet. The trailer it's about a minute and a half long, and basically it's this guy kind of grumbly talking over the top of a map as it pans across this map as it draws. But they are good games. I'd highly recommend picking up certainly 2, being that's the only one I've played, but you're saying 3 is good as well. So.
Yeah.
They're both PlayStation. They're definitely both PlayStation 3. Yeah. There's Uncharted 1 in the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, they're all in the PlayStation 3.
The whole series in the PlayStation 3.
Yeah. Because it's Naughty Dog are owned by Sony, I think.
Right.
Or got some sort of contract with them, at least, so it'll be Sony-only consoles.
Yep. The games are.
One thing I've not added in notes is, obviously, the PlayStation 4 is now out in America. And early reviews for the games of Knack has been slayed as, which kind of did look a bit crap.
That's the robot type
game. Platformer. I thought it looked rubbish, and turns out it is rubbish.
Yeah.
And it's Killzone Shadowfall is getting average to good reviews, between 7 and 8, so it looks solid. Not solid enough for me to go out and buy it, because just to buy a console just for, because the last, it was Killzone 2, 2 I played, not played 3. I enjoyed it was good, but it's not a system seller for me.
No, you see, it was Killzone 2 was a system seller for the PlayStation 3 for me. I didn't have a PlayStation until I saw Killzone at your house.
Yeah.
And that was what kicked me to get a PlayStation. But I have to admit, I got really bored with that game. Yeah. There's nothing.
It looked nice, but the story and everything was just kind of throwaway, and it just wasn't interesting.
Yeah.
But and I enjoyed the multiplayer, but it's I don't know. It was something missing, and apparently the new one's really good. But I think if you weren't, if the last ones didn't pull you in, this point won't be any different.
Yeah.
And yeah, for the other game, that's basically the way exclusives that they got launched.
See, and that's the problem for me. I had both Xbox and PlayStation 4 pre-ordered, and I've cancelled my PlayStation 4 pre-order because I'm not fussed about either of those exclusives.
Yeah.
I am sort of I have both consoles, but I do pull more towards the Xbox. Yeah. I will always buy an Xbox unless it's like Uncharted or something
they've
like
got
that.
There's a lot of third party development. It's indie games coming out for it, which all look quite nice, but I don't buy a new console just for the indie games. As much as some look really cool, they're like an added bonus. They're like, you know, like the cherry on top of the cake, where the cake's the main games.
Shiz, I believe you had phenomenal response when asking on Facebook if anyone listened from America.
Yes, I believe.
Overwhelming for us.
One person liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I got two.
Did you get two likes?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
I don't think they were from America.
No actual comments. No.
So thanks for engaging, audience.
Although I did say I suspected we didn't have any because we failed to understand Paul as well.
Very true.
But yes, there's been reports of hardware failures.
On the PlayStation?
Yeah, of the console partly overheating, that this might just be small amounts, a small percentage. It's still find out if it's how big the percentage is. It's too early to say. Like, with any new hardware, you're always going
to
get...
I have to say...
Always going to get failures and whatnot, but it depends what the failure rate is. If it's, I'd be surprised if it's as high as what the 360 had at launch and whatnot.
I watched that video
of the guy stripping it down, and it was very tight up.
Mm.
Very tight.
There's only like one fan in the thing.
And the power supply is within the thing as well, which is going to add more heat.
That's what I'm reading online. They have said that it does get very hot, and there's been reports of people saying that it red lights, which means the console's overheating and they have to shut it down, let it cool down, then play it again. But at the same time, this all depends what environment it's in. You know, it's some folk depend on how if they've got stacked around tons of things, or they've got sitting next to a radiator. Then of course it's going to overheat.
Yeah.
But so you can't tell person by person what the environment they're playing it in.
Yeah.
But so I'd take all the failures with a pinch of salt, and we probably have to wait a few months to find out what the failure rate is. But everything's got a failure rate. If it's just like a few low percent, then it's not a big deal. But if it's like as high as the Red Ring of Death, then it's more worrying.
Definitely. Your friend's going to have to get himself a new industry kicked back into speed again. You had a friend who knew how to fix Red Rings, and he just had a constant stream of Xboxes coming in from your mates to get their Red Rings fixed.
He used to acquire broken ones and fix them. I think at one point he had like six working random 360s in his house. No idea why.
Another thing that came out of the Naughty Dog was some new DLC coming out for Last of Us called Left Behind.
Story-driven DLC, Singapore, which is the sort of DLC we like. So I think I'll probably be picking that up.
So it's expected early 2014, but essentially what is it? Again, the trailer doesn't really give a huge amount away. It's again a teaser, which sees Ellie and another girl who the press conference revealed is a child called Riley, who's sort of a mentor to Ellie when she was in military boarding school before the... It's sort of a prequel, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and basically it's Ellie and this child, Riley, walking into a play park, a very dimly lit and obviously left to dilapidation theme park, and that's it. Lasts for about a minute. So there's not really much given away there, but...
Just announcing DLC, which I'm sure I'll pick up because I enjoyed this at the main game.
So apparently you could play, according to the articles I've read, that you're going to be able to play this Riley character as well. So it's going to be a two-player, but it's going to be like a co-op single-player narrative, as far as I can
read. There's quite a lot of interesting DLCs coming out at the moment. There's the Bioshock one.
Right.
And there's a new
It's Body Let's See, that's called, isn't it? Set on Rapture.
Yeah. And there's a new pack coming out for Borderlands 2. And there's the XCOM one.
Mm-hmm. My only problem with the Bioshock 1, going by reviews, the reviews haven't been that great for it. I'll still pick and play it, but for something that apparently only lasts like 2 hours, charging £15 seems a bit steep. I'm going to wait till it comes. I'm not paying £15 for a DLC that lasts about an hour to 2 hours.
I never really found that girl to be an engaging character.
No. You weren't a fan, but yeah, it's they overhyped her, and then she didn't quite live up to my expectations.
She wasn't as good as Alex.
She was well written, but the AI, I kind of felt cheated rather than doing anything really interesting.
She'd be like you'd be fighting in one of the bits where you go around the rail system, and she'd be at the other side, and you've won. You jump off, you go to a door, and you need her to open it, and lo and behold, suddenly she magically appears from nowhere.
Yeah.
Bit annoying.
Mm. And she'd randomly find a coin in a room that you've just scurried and checked, and there's no money in that room. But she's like, "Yeah, I found some money. Where? Yeah.
Take me to where you found
you
this."
You're just taking that from my pocket and getting it back, aren't you?
Interrupts you whilst you're like setting up a kill zone for someone, and goes, "Hey, I have a coin.
How long have you had that attached, waiting for one of us to come in on it?"
The whole show. I've been doing that at random points. No one's noticed.
We've got these things. They're called pop guards that go in the front of the microphones that are supposed to kind of shield your microphones.
I don't feel you need to explain this at all. How come I'm the only one who actually has one up?
Because you spit when you talk.
I only found two of the three of them.
This is for your protection.
And Chiz has it attached with the little clip that should go around the shaft of the microphone to his jeans.
It's right in my shaft.
Nice.
No,
right.
It's too big.
The other thing is Humble Store. Are you guys familiar with Humble Bundle?
Who does it?
Humble Bundle is a company.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. I am not aware of Humble Bundle.
So, I've used Humble Bundle for years because my understanding was, although stuff that I've read about when I was looking at this for talk about in the show, this isn't actually true, but my understanding was Humble Bundle was a Mac thing. And over the years, basically what they do is they get a company to put a bunch of games up, or usually a bunch of indie games. I think the first one they did had like World of Goo and things like that. And you pay what you want. So it's entirely up to you what you pay. You could pay a cent. It's all in dollars. You could pay a cent, you could pay 100, whatever. And then you have little sliders that say, of the money that you've given us, how much do you want to go to charity, how much do you want to go to Humble Bundle, and how much do you want to actually go to the people who made the game. And you have to give something to each of them, but even if it's only 1%. So they did a really good one, probably a couple of weeks ago now, where you got Batman Arkham City, Arkham Asylum, Fear 2. Sam wants to know why we're talking about them if they're not giving us free stuff. I'm talking about them because the store only just opened this week. So basically, it's a competitor.
Been using them for years.
So they've only been doing these Humble Bundles, these offers. Randomly, you'll get an email in your inbox that just kind of says, "We're doing a Humble Bundle. Come and get this game." So I subscribed to the email and I regularly bought into these Humble Bundles. But just 2 weeks, last week maybe, 2 weeks ago, since the last show anyway, they've opened a store, which basically is a competitor to the Steam store, and it's along the same lines as GOG and Green Man. All I'm talking about is it's a new competitor in that space. So it's another place to have a look. I don't know how competitive they're going to be, but they're still going to continue to do these bundles. And I managed to pick up Batman Arkham City, Arkham Asylum, Fear 2, the original Fear, and a couple other games I hadn't really heard of, for $4, which is, what, £2.50? Something like that. Mm. Pretty good. They're worth subscribing to. Not everyone is gold, and not everyone is worthwhile, but the store is definitely an interesting addition to the otherwise rip-off merchants of Steam and cohorts.
Yeah, until Steam have a sale.
Steam have a sale, phenomenal. Exactly. Yeah, and that's the same with Humble Bundle. There's a chance that the actual Humble Store might not actually be that competitive until they do bundles.
I guess one thing we still find crap is how is digital downloads are still much the same price or more expensive than buying a physical copy, which is just like, it shouldn't be that way.
No, it really shouldn't.
Cheap.
So, it's a Humble Store. I'd recommend going over and checking it out. It's certainly the Humble Bundles are worth subscribing to their email. And finally, we just wanted to talk about the PlayStation 4. The launch unit is out, and a couple of websites, CVG, IGN, and things like that, have kind of done a launch verdict. So we've got a little bit more. There's nothing really earth-shattering about this. I mean, we've talked about most of the stuff in this before, haven't we? I mean, was there anything that you've seen that we didn't know already.
The way things have the past few weeks up until launches, I've found is a lot of people have been slagging off it's Microsoft for the DRM stuff, having a date. You need to plug the console online to update it from day one and things like that. And Sony have been pretty. It's Bono. Sony have been pretty.
Sab now has both the pop guards on his eyes, and he's got a bit of a Bono look thing going on.
And it's
I was thinking more like the Fly.
Okay. Okay, sorry, Chiz, you were saying something intelligent.
From a PR standpoint, Sony have played this well because they've kept Stoom and turned out basically let Microsoft take all the flack for being upfront about everything. Well, yep. And it turns out Sony have done basically exact same thing, but just not bother telling people.
And then...
dodged questions. You have to update this because it will play games out of the box, which the Xbox won't. You have to update it. You have to go online first and then it can play the games. So that's one thing you don't have to do at the Sony. But the PlayStation 4 for it to play Blu-ray films, do anything else basically apart from play the game, you need to basically get the update.
Because it won't
play DVDs or anything.
Yeah, because we said that, it was in the last show or the show before that, that it's not going to play like CDs or MP3s or things like that, and they've turned around, they've put a software update now that allows you to do all those things.
Power of the gamer show.
Yes, it was entirely us.
I think the CD and stuff, they're going to do an update for it. It's not, you won't have it on day one, but a patch will come.
They've at least committed that they will fix that.
Yeah.
Fix is the wrong word, but they will overturn that decision. The reviews of the controller seem reasonably positive. They're saying that the shoulder buttons are good. The design of the little thumbsticks are a lot better than the old ones because they've got this little groove in the middle instead of the old ones being entirely rounded over the top.
Yeah.
This little groove in the middle means that you can do a lot more kind of intricate things, quite detailed small movements, whereas you might have slipped off the DualShock 3.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I read about the controller is game developers don't seem to have quite worked out exactly what to do with the touch area yet.
Which is not really surprising.
Yeah, because like some people, so Battlefield 4, you use that area for calling, for like giving commands to your soldiers that you're commanding, or for a command airstrikes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Black Flag uses it more as sort of a mouse point and click type thing. It's more for like kind of guiding about the menus and things like that. So it's two entirely different ways of using it.
Yeah.
So I think that's
quite an interesting way to do it, though. That just kind of, we have this on our control pad. See what you can do. Throw it out there. New toy.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite similar to how Valve are dealing with the new controller.
Proper utilized if it ever does, because we're saying the same thing about it was a six axis. You know, like it was a DualShock 3 had motion sensing.
Yeah,
but it got quickly abandoned because no one liked it.
Yeah,
it
or no one used it well. I don't know if it was necessarily nobody liked it, but nobody found a use for it that actually made sense to people.
No.
I have to be honest, I didn't even know it had motion sensitive in the DualShock 3. So I clearly didn't even play a game that had that functionality at all. But there you go. I kind of feel that the PlayStation 4 has appeared in sort of lukewarm. You know, it's just because I sit in the Xbox world, rightly or wrongly, but I don't feel the same excitement on people that I speak to on a day-to-day basis for the PlayStation 4 as I do for the Xbox.
I think the excitement's waned on it, because it is a really good console, and on paper it's more powerful than the Xbox. Everyone's really excited about that, but at launch it just hasn't delivered the games. I think the games aren't there yet. They will come, because we've got you've got folk like Naughty Dog making their games, and there's Order 1866, or what it's called.
Games
will come. I think it'll be this time next year. People are going, PS4, fantastic.
Yeah,
but I think at launch, it's a bit disappointing. Unless you absolutely love its Killzone or something like that, or Knack appeals to you, whatnot, or there's a few of the indie games you're really excited about, then great, you'll love it.
Yeah.
But if, like me, you're a bit like, there's nothing shouting out for me, just wait until there's a must-have game, which I'm sure there will be, and I'll pick one up then.
Yep. Cool.
I'll probably just go up and visit Chris.
I've cancelled mine.
Is Chris getting a day one?
No, he's not getting a day one, I don't think.
So this is Chris that was in the quiz last year, and he's guested in a couple of shows.
His daughter may prevent him from having any fun.
Because, as we said, most people we know are pretty much, I don't get anyone's like fanboys of Xbox, but the past generation, they have had a preference for their Xbox.
Yeah.
But Chris is quite emphatically
PlayStation, though.
PlayStation,
he's
definitely.
One of the way people know it's like, in fact,
from some big on in
like,
that camp.
Yeah, but like, not that he's like anti Xbox either. Because he was quite interested, but he's, at the same time, he's very much a one console guy. He's not going to buy both of them.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, so that's a rundown of the PlayStation 4. If you are listening to this from the States and you would like to give us an update on the PlayStation 4, by the time we next record, the PlayStation 4 will just have been out, I think, like the day before or something like that.
So you can just mock us instead.
But let us know what you think of it. Are we completely wrong? Are you sitting in a world where all of your friends and everybody you speak about with this kind of thing is PlayStation people? And are we just living in a bubble, in an Xbox bubble?
Well,
there's a song title there.
There's good multiplat games. So, you know, you've got Assassin's Creed and there's Battlefield 4.
Yeah.
And Call of Duty for those people as well, but I say I'm getting Battlefield 4 for my Xbox and possibly Dead Rising 3. That's
I fancy that as well, but I want to see
reviews
of it before
reviews
I purchase.
Reviews are due tomorrow.
Okay, cool. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, moving on swiftly. So previews this week. Now nobody's bothered to update the show notes this week, so I have no idea what you guys are previewing. So cheers, go.
Pretty much it'd be my Xbox One, which is out on Friday. That's the only thing I can really preview right now. Yeah. And I say
everything's kind of quiet just now.
Yeah, really looking forward to that. I've got the day off work. Fantastic.
My wife won't let me get the
Toys R Us. Better bloody deliver it on time. but I've got Battlefield 4 ordered for it, which you're getting as well, and your brother's getting. So she'll hook up online on that at the weekend, if as long as the infrastructure's not down.
Yeah.
And
that's going to be the
that's
thing.
That's one thing. Sony's had issues with on day one their infrastructure was suffering the amount of people trying to download the update patch and whatnot. But
I'd imagine that would be quite difficult in that you have to update your games with the Xbox as soon as you go on. So it'd be like, do you remember when I got my Wii U? Mm-hmm. That was painful because I switched it on really excited to play it and it ended up having to sit and download an update, which took all the reason.
You'll have that for your Xbox, but it depends. I think it's half a gig download, I think, so it shouldn't be too bad. Well, I think the Wii U was bigger than that.
Yeah, it certainly felt like that anyway.
Anyway, we'll see what it's like in Inkwell, and Microsoft's infrastructure is better than Nintendo's, I would say, for online.
Well, you would hope that Microsoft had quite good infrastructure.
Well, they've been boasting about their 300,000 servers, so hopefully it is. But anyway,
unfortunately,
yeah,
they're all 386s, but...
So I'm getting Battlefield 4, getting FIFA with it for free, which is cool, and I say I'll probably pick up Dead Rising 3, and I'll keep an eye on reviews for Rise as well. So
see, I pre-ordered Rise, and then you kind of went reviews, wait for reviews, so I've cancelled my pre-order. Yeah,
I think it'd be good.
Yeah, well, hopefully. Thing is, I already had three games sitting, so I didn't need to pre-order a fourth game, considering I'm probably not going to play all them three for till Christmas anyway. So Sam, what's your preview?
I don't really have one. but I was going to mention Murdered... What is it?
Soul Suspect.
Which we had in the game show notes a little while ago. We had a little link to a video, or did I just watch that independently?
I don't know.
Possibly. Looked quite interesting. You're a dead cop, and your ghosty floats around the place and you can
solve his crimes.
See shiz.
I kind of feel like it should be called Shaft, Soul Suspect.
Yeah, be much better.
So the premise is you're a dead cop who's solving crimes?
Solving your own murder, I believe.
Alright, okay.
While possibly solving other murders as you go along as well.
Maybe, probably. But I'll try and avoid that. I don't really care.
That's your problem.
I'm dead. It's not going to make a big bit of difference. It doesn't even give me a medal or a promotion.
Yeah, fiddly diddlies.
Okay. Well, for me, I am also looking forward to the Xbox One. Comes out next week. I pre-ordered a couple of different games, so I have Battlefield 4, same as Chiz, but I have also got Black Flag. And I know we spoke about this show that I was burned quite severely with Assassin's Creed 3, but I'm holding out hope for
Black
Flag.
But Paul was ever the child that kept sticking his tongue in the electric plugs.
I saw some disappointing footage of that on next gen. I think it'll be still fun. Hopefully, the reviews it's been getting, they've all said it's better than Assassin's Creed 3, so that's good.
Yeah.
But some of the footage I've seen were, it's all great graphics and everything, but you're walking down the street and you actually see people literally a few feet in front of you kind of phasing in rather than being kind of like properly popping in just right in front of you. And I thought, for next gen console, that's pretty poor. Why is that happening? So fair enough, because it happened on the 360 and PlayStation 3, even then it shouldn't be happening there, but that close to you. So a bit of popping, but in the distance, not that close. So when I saw that happening, I thought that was a bit rubbish.
Paul, that fence at the bottom of the garden, you should go and wee on that again. the electricity's definitely turned off this time.
So there's that. I've also picked up Zoo Tycoon, mainly because my daughter will be desperate to play the Xbox One when it comes out, and Black Flag and Battlefield 4 probably aren't too appropriate for her.
No.
I figured Zoo Tycoon would be quite. It looks like quite an interesting title to play.
So we're going to get the Marvel Lego game.
Yeah, but it's been delayed, so that's a little bit frustrating. Which is a little bit annoying, but of course I'll have FIFA as well. I'm not much of a football guy, I have to say, but I think the last FIFA game I played was in the N64, and I enjoyed that. So I have absolutely no idea what players to put in my team, and it always bewilders me when I'm playing against Chiz and he spends 10 minutes working at his formations and who's going to come off the bench. I just go, and then put whatever team they suggest. But yeah, that'll be interesting. It'll be good because a few of the people that we know that are getting Xbox Ones in day release will almost all of them will have FIFA.
Yeah.
So we could actually, but I think it could be quite interesting, even though I'm not into football, to do a quite a good online game of that.
Remember back in the PlayStation 2 days, getting
the multi-link.
The multi-link and playing PES.
Yeah. And even going back to like Mega Drive days when you used to get the cartridges that had the two controller ports as part of the cartridge.
Micro Machines.
I think there was a football game. One of the FIFA games came out with that as well. So I'm looking forward to that. But the other thing I was looking forward to, but Chiz completely smashed my dreams when I was explaining to him before the show why I was looking forward to it. So I'm looking forward to the Grand Theft Auto Online Beach Bum update, because I thought this was going to bring... Well, sorry, I had read it's bringing the June Buggy. And I thought the June Buggy was the sort of Volkswagen Beetle... van type thing, you know, like with the big tires on. I thought that was a June Buggy because I'd never seen that in the online world, and I was quite excited because I like driving that car in the main game. And it just spoiled my dreams by telling me that it isn't actually that car at all. It's an entirely new car.
I've never seen it. I've got one in my garage.
Well, screw you. I don't think I've ever come out of San Andreas though in the online game, so maybe it's just because I've not went up north in the online game.
I wish my internet worked.
there's two or three new cars, new weapons, and
there's new costumes and things like that, so you can get like kind of surfer shorts and different gear.
A few new races in survival, but nothing proper mission based.
There's a gang, cat people.
No, there's no Khajiits, so what the hell do you call them?
There's a couple of new gang kind of face-off deathmatch type games are appearing as well in a couple of races. But I mean, the little beach buggy that is coming does look quite good fun. It looks like similar.
Free.
Yeah, exactly. And it's looking similar to the little buggy that you get to do drug runs and things like that out of the airport up north. So that looks like fun. So I'm still quite looking forward to that, but just not in the same vigour that I originally was until she smashed my dreams.
Well, because you should be more excited because that car you really like's already in the game, but you get another car that you could really like.
Well, let's be the pessimist.
Nope.
Okay, cool. So, Chiz, what have you been playing this week mainly?
I've not particularly played anything new. I acquired Tomb Raider on the PC through Steam. I'll let you guys continue.
No, crack on. Sorry, Chiz.
I got the new Tomb Raider game for about £6 through Steam. But I've not played near enough of that to judge it. So yeah, I've been playing F1 and Grand Theft Auto mainly, nothing particularly new.
We are listening.
No, you're not.
You were playing Grand Theft Auto, nothing particularly new. You got Tomb Raider on Steam. I almost bought Tomb Raider the other day because it was sitting for £10 in game. And I sort of considered it because I remember looking at the preview when it first got announced, and it sort of looked a little, because it's made with the Uncharted engine, isn't it? I don't think it's made by Naughty Dog, but it's made with the same engine, is that right?
What's that? The
Tomb Raider?
No.
I was going to buy it, but then I realised that it was the lame albino cleft-lip child that should have been left in a sack and drowned many years ago.
The game was, as opposed to Lara Croft?
All of it.
Right. Awesome. I'm not really sure where that's good, but
It's made by Crystal Dynamics.
Is it?
Don't get used as the same game engine, but it's
looks
definitely...
looks very like it.
It's just been... Oh, yeah. It's definitely been inspired by... Uncharted. But it doesn't use the same game engine.
Oh, does it not? All right, okay, sorry. I quite fancied that. I just changed my mind because we were quite looking forward. I remember I was talking about it when it was previewed, and we were quite looking forward to it. But when I was standing looking at it in game, and it occurred to me that I'd not heard a peep about it, and it was now sitting for £10 in game. Mm. And so I made the rather rash decision, which I'm prone to kind of go on, well, if I've not heard anything about it, then it must be rubbish.
No, it got pretty good reviews. It didn't get anything amazing, but it didn't get bad reviews. It was it was well received. And what I've played of it so far, it's only been like half an hour. It's all right, although a bit. So far, it's taken the control away from my hands a bit too often for my liking, and I've not been properly unleashed in it.
It's dull. Yeah. Right, okay. Thanks for your input, Sam. What have you been playing this week?
Haven't. I actually haven't at all.
Sam has been away on a family holiday this week. So.
Yeah, it was good. I've been mostly watching children
play Fable.
Play really badly. And fighting the urge to just rip the controller from their hands and go, this is how you do it, you little sh**. You're allowed to say
this must be the game.
Cheers, hey, you're allowed to say sh**.
No, we're bleeping.
I thought we were going to say sh**. No. I thought sh** was okay. No.
Anyway. I
if I spell it, do you have to bleep it?
Yes, I have been playing...
S-H-1-T. S-H-1-T.
I have been playing Tetris on the iOS. There's been a lot of Tetris clones around, and I don't know when this came out, but I just happened across it on iOS, and it's a really, really good version. I think it's actually the official Tetris. I think it's released by the proper owners of it. But it's quite good. So, like, other versions that they've kind of copied the Tetris dynamic for really struggled with how do you spin the block, so as you change the shape of it. And basically what this does is you've got all the controls, so you swipe down just to make it fly down, you tap the screen which changes the position of it, and then you just swipe left and right for it to have it move across left and right. I mean, it's Tetris, there's not much more to it than that, but it's actually a really good version of Tetris on iOS. And Tetris is grand for the morning motion and all that. I have been playing a lot of that this week.
How can you...
You've been playing a lot of them more. You've been having ball problems?
I've been playing it a lot, like, killing time, waiting in queues and waiting for my coffee in the morning and things like that. It's quite handy for those kind of like little breaks in the day when you just want to fire up a game. It pauses the state as well, which is quite nice. So you can just pick up where you left off. So it's quite nice when I'm waiting for my cup of coffee in the morning or, as I said, my morning motion.
Are there bad versions of Tetris?
I've come across ones on the iOS. Yeah, I've come across ones on the iOS
just
App Store.
The controls don't
it's just the controls,
very well,
yeah.
Tetris
yeah.
One of those games where I play it in one sitting, I've never played it more than 10 minutes because it's like, right, bored now.
No, I like
even
Tetris.
Back in the Game Boy day when it first came out, it's like, nah, bored now. It's never quite. It's like, I can see why people get addicted to it, but I'm bored now.
No, it's a good version. One of the better versions on iOS that I've come across. So. That's it. This podcast and all others in the British Tech Network are brought to you.
I believe we're at 3.1 version.
Are brought to you by UK2. They are the awesome folk that provide all the hosting and bandwidth for the British Tech Network, and they are superb. I think I mentioned the last couple of shows, I've been going in the process of moving all of my websites over to UK2. It's taken me about a year, but that was no fault of UK2. It was just me being lazy and not moving them all over at once. I finally finished that process last weekend, and it went smooth as silk. Had issues with them firing support tickets off and things like that. I wasn't with them. It was just getting things configured and things like that. And there was one in particular. I asked a question fully expecting, based on other hosting providers, to not hear back till lunchtime at the earliest. This was kind of 8:30 in the morning. And they had the problem replied to me and resolved by 9 o'clock on one occasion last week. So I was really, really impressed with them. Absolutely top guys. If you head on over to thebritishnetwork.com and click on the sponsors link, you will see voucher codes for all sorts of awesome money off services for UK2. If you click the click through, so the UK2 advert on our website, so the UK2 know that we sent you and you didn't pick up the voucher codes from another website somewhere else on the internet. Please click through the British Tech Network to UK2. We love UK2. They're absolutely superb. Please support them as they support British Tech.
I prefer the term greased up gibbon rather than smooth as silk. I'd like you to edit that and put that in.
So UK2 are like greased up gibbons. It's a tagline I'm going to propose to you and that we use for being running. Cool. Yeah, UK2 are superb.
It's been like a greased up gibbon.
It's a pretty difficult game. catching greased up gibbons. Mm. You just release 12 of them in the garden. And you have to, obviously, you shave them first so they're smooth.
Yeah.
And then grease them up in pig fat that you've just rendered down from, obviously, your pig slaughtering that you did first thing in the morning. And then everyone goes out naked chasing the baboons.
Do you have to be greased up as well?
Yeah.
I believe his morning routine is get up.
It just has to be grease everywhere.
Right, okay.
I believe his morning routine is get up, poo, Tetris, slaughter pigs.
I skip the Tetris. Straight in. I'm playing Tetris while I'm slaughtering the pigs. So I'm that proud.
I find it far easier for shave the gibbons whilst pooing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel that they don't writhe about as much and you have to kind of get off the pan.
Well, are you gripping them on your knees or something?
Yeah, it's far easier. It also actually works quite well when you're straining. You know, you can really push down on them.
That's given cruelty, actually, Paul. I'm gonna report you for that.
Anyway, this is the first week that we've all had indie games to play. So, who wants to start?
Me.
Okay, Sam, you had Dust Force,
and we spoke about it earlier on. And there's a video, so I'll probably not do it.
Well, Cheers. Yeah. So Sam did a video.
Mine was all right. It was probably actually the graphics were nice. I quite liked the imagery. I particularly liked the tutorial level where it was all blah.
Yeah.
Tron.
Yeah, Tron. Yeah, very much like Tron-esque. Yeah.
If you like platformers, I would imagine that's a really good one.
Yeah, it was $6.99.
I don't.
Mm.
Cheers.
I had Garry's Mod, which isn't really a game. It's more of a kind of
sandbox playground kind of thing.
Drop stuff in. I couldn't suss out how to animate or get characters to actually be more than just a dead rag doll corpse when I spawned them. So at one point I had just a massive piles of Alex Vance. So I made a ramp and jumped her.
That's
as far as I got.
Your dream.
Yep.
Piles of. No, actually, I'm not going to go into that.
Yeah.
I was going to go really sinister then.
Okay, that's probably best we don't.
You didn't want to be that guy.
Was it worth it?
It's just one thing, you need to spend a bit more time playing around everything, and I'll make bigger ramps, I suppose. But there's a lot of stuff I need to suss out how to use and play around with. But yeah, it's just, as I say, just a sandbox program.
I've learned some incredible things.
I think you can change what it did, but I couldn't suss it at the time because I had a quick play. But I basically had a rope gun where I shoot one end of rope to another, to one thing, and shot, then aim it somewhere else, and it attaches a rope. We're preferring it was like, I don't know if you can change it to a bungee cord, so it pulls something that way, but. Yeah, at one point I had dog, dog, but the big mechanical beast that's in Half-Life 2, I had him half hanging by ropes in different directions, and your phone or something. That was Garry's Mod.
Cool.
Addicted out, basically.
Grand. I had No Room in Hell, which is a free game based on the Source 2 engine. It's quite clearly, when you open it up, I didn't realise it was in Source 2, and I started playing it and realised, it looks exactly like Half-Life. For free, really quite an impressive game for free. Basically what it is I think it seems to have been built with a multiplayer in mind. Because the first thing you do is...
We meant to actually put it together, but we never did it.
The first thing it kind of asks you is, do you want to create a server or do you want to join a server? Which it instantly made me think, oh crap, do I have to play this multiplayer? But you just create a server and then you have a one-player game. Very like Half-Life 2, Left 4 Dead, whereby as soon as you start, there's a bunch of like tables and shelves and stuff around you where you can pick up all sorts of things like a wrench, a shotgun, a pistol, a torch and all sorts of things. When you create your own server, you have a list of all these different maps, which none of them really give you too much of a description. There's just a name. What are you doing?
Turning Sam on.
There's just a name.
I think he was wiping dog crap.
Nice.
Off his shoe onto the back of my leg.
Nice.
It's cum.
Oh, dog cum. Interesting.
Right. You basically picked up all this stuff, and then you walked down the corridor, and then these zombies kind of came towards you, who, I have to admit, it was very rare I got past much more than 3 or 4 of them. It was only really when I ran that I managed to get past them. Because it's pitch black almost.
Did you put it like you would in real life and just assumed the fetal position on the table.
I went up to them and kind of shoved, because there's a shove button where you kind of push them away. You shove them, then you hit them a couple of times with whatever item you're carrying, and then you just sort of run through them, kind of zigzag through them to try and get to the end of the level. Or that's the way I played it anyway. It's very, very dark.
Are they slow or fast zombies?
They're quite slow. It's very dark, as in it's impossible to see anything unless you're carrying a torch. And you can only carry a torch when you're carrying a one-handed item. So if you've got a spade or a shotgun or a pistol, you can't carry a torch as well.
You can't carry...
Because you hold the gun like that. Well, it's not going to help for people listening. But right, basically, hands. Hold the gun and then you kind of rest the other hand on the palm of your hand. So the pistol basically removed the need for a torch. You could flick to the torch and back to the pistol quite quickly, so that was kind of fine. The torch didn't even cast that big a light on the wall either.
Did
so.
The torch have like batteries from... It was medieval times where they lasted 10 seconds. Like it doesn't Doom 3.
No, the torch actually lasted a little while.
Not medieval times. Yeah. Where they've lost all knowledge of battery technology.
Yeah. So I've invented this cold fusion gun that powers itself, but I cannot work out how to keep this torch going.
Oh, my torch. Light just takes up so much power.
Yeah, the torch really didn't cast that much of a shadow. That much of a light. There was one level that I played, and I can't for the life of me remember what the name of it was. I think it was something like Underwater Underground, but essentially the idea was you were in a mill, and the only reason I know you were in a mill was because as soon as it starts, it gives you your objective, and it says escape from the mill. When you started, I found wrenches, ammo, guns, but there was no torches anywhere. The place was pitch dark. I could only kind of see faintly things in front of me. Well, no, the way it works is when you walk near things, it outlines itself in green. So as soon as you kind of get within maybe 6 feet of it, roughly, it outlined itself in green, so it was quite clear it was there. I walked round and round that room so many times. The solution I came up with is I found a shotgun and I just started randomly blasting the shotgun off to make a little bit of light so that I could see if there was other tables in the room. And that was just impossible. I eventually managed, just by complete accident, walking through a door, I assume, and found a room that had really faint lights really high up in the ceiling, which cast a tiny little bit of light. And I just got mauled every time I tried to use that level. But really good for free. Really good for free. But not my kind of game, and it could have done with being a little bit less dark. But yeah, for free, I would definitely say check it out.
So what we could have played together, what we do is we attach a rope to Paul, send him out, and if it goes really, really tight, we know there's zombies out there.
So, what have you got for me this week?
I got someone.
Oh yeah, of course, we're all doing each.
I searched Steam, got another free-to-play game called Warframe.
Warframe?
Yeah.
I didn't get anything for anyone, because I haven't been here. So...
So maybe one thing we should have actually thought about before doing this to
could have probably done this well
okay.
In the ages of time that we spent mucking around.
Okay.
Well, you can suss what you're giving us off podcast, or you're getting one of us and just add it to the notes or something.
Just looking now.
Yeah.
So, hang on, I have to put my date of birth in to get any descriptions
just
about
Warframe.
Just change
the year, you don't need to change the exact date.
I was born in 1978. I wasn't really, but... So, Warframe is a cooperative, free-to-play, third-person online action game set in an evolving sci-fi world. Join your friends in player versus enemy raids across the solar system and master the power of the wireframes. I think it worked too much. Warframes. Stand alone or fight together against enemies that threaten your world. They are called the Tenno. Tino? Tenno. Tenno?
It's not some of his names, I don't know.
So there you go. So that was for me. So Sam, it's free to play actually, so I can just.
John, I'm just gonna say this one here. Just my magic jewel of champions. Someone can have that.
That's Chiz.
Oh, for God's
Sam.
I've already had a Might and Magic game, you bastards.
Have you?
Yeah.
It's like card game, but on a computer.
Okay. Sam, I got you...
I thought it really frustrate people.
Do you want to read out the description of it?
Not really. So you can't see the screen and talk. Enter the legendary universe of Might and Magic with this fantastic strategy online card game. with close to 600 cards.
600, Chiz.
600 cards. You have to use every single one.
The only thing better than playing a real card game is playing a virtual card game.
Choose your hero.
Was that a swear there?
Build an army with creatures, spells, and fortunes, and defeat the cunning opponent in battles of epic proportions. You wouldn't be interested. They're not dogs.
Okay.
Paul, you've got my mic, and you keep pulling my head away.
Sorry.
There we go.
Right, okay. Sam, you have... And I thought you would actually like this. It's called Hive. And because you are a fan of board games, this is an officially licensed version of the Mensa Select award-winning board game. Hive is a board game with a difference.
It's what? Mensa like it. I am screwed.
There is no board. The pieces are added to the playing area, thus creating the board. So... It's very like that zombie board game that we played, whereby the board actually evolves as the game plays.
I'm not playing this with Amy then.
So that's Hive. So that's what you've got.
Did she go mental?
She gets a bit feisty playing that.
She's competitive.
She is very competitive.
So that is us. We would really appreciate, once we get the video up, I'll tweet out, but we'd appreciate some feedback about the video. You can send your feedback to me at Paul Wheatley. You can send it to at British Tech Network, both on Twitter. You can email britishtechnetwork@gmail.com with any feedback, but we really want to know whether you like it, whether you don't like it, whether you don't care, whether you're actually going to watch the little snippets that we do or not. It's just so that we can get a feeling whether it's actually worth our while doing them.
Paul's hard drive died, so he needs to... He needs more pictures of fat old men to build it back up again. So feel free to send them stuff like that.
Yeah. That's not my email address. It's Ewan's email address.
Ewan will forward them on to you, I'm sure.
Okay, so that was the show. Please like us on Facebook, join our Google Plus community, and all that kind of jazz. We've had fun, and we will have our Xbox Ones the next time we see you. So,
woo!
And we'll be rubbing it in Sam's face.
You normally do that anyway. Yeah.
It will also be December the next time we have a show.
But this time it'll be an Xbox rather than my ball bag.
All right.
On that.
I was going to say normally it's quite salty.
Yeah, that's enough, right? Okay, thank you very much and good night.
I've trimmed, so it should be less chafing. No, there'll be more chafing. More chafing. Get some talc.
Well, I don't know. If you get straight in there, it'll be all right.
Come on.
You leave it until the stubble.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't do a joke this time. I got a joke now. I don't have a joke.